If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 22. This has been the thing we're going to talk to you about this morning has actually been rolling in me for a week now, which is interesting. But I want to talk to you about the covenant. Now, here's what I want you to understand: "The" is all caps. Capital T, capital H, capital E. There's a lot of covenants, so I want to talk to you about the covenant. And understand that we can use the word covenant, we can use the word testament, we can use the word agreement. They're all saying the same thing. And you'll find in the Bible there are various covenants made. And I'm going to dwell mainly on contrasting between old and new. If you think about it, God made a covenant with Noah. Then his covenant was an agreement, a promise, that the earth, and not only with Noah, but with the earth also, that the earth would not be destroyed again by water. And as a sign of that covenant, as a token, he put a rainbow in the sky. And so every time you see a rainbow, just remember it's reminding God of his promise. And it should be reminding us also, you know, of God's covenant-keeping word, how he's good for his word. You see God making covenant with Abraham, that promise, that agreement with him, that he would bring a seed into the earth, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And then you see the old covenant, where it's actually God puts it in writing, and he delivers Abraham's seed, just like he promised, out of the land of Egypt. He told Abraham it'd be 400 years, fourth generation, they'd come out. God was good for his word. Okay? And so when Moses led them to Mount Sinai, God spoke to them, but this time, with Noah, it was a verbal agreement. With Abraham, it was a verbal agreement. But with the nation of Israel, God put it in writing. And so this old covenant is a covenant, we could call a covenant a system, ordinances, statutes, rules, regulations. And this old covenant laid out things that man had to do. God said, "I'll do this if you'll do this." So it's contingent upon man performing right. Excuse me. This is what I want you to see between the old and the new, okay? The old dealt with man's performance. And I'm going to leave it right there. We'll come back. But I want to read the scripture here in Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 15. Jesus said to them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now you think about the Passover that was initiated under the old covenant and think about what that meant. And Jesus said, "I've been looking forward to this Passover, although this is going to be a horrendous suffering time for him. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Now I want you to understand that as well. What he's saying is, this is the last one. This Passover is going to be fulfilled. This is fulfilling God's word. All the way through that old covenant, where they're celebrating Passover every year, a required festival, okay? He said, "I'm not going to eat anymore until this is fulfilled." What did John say Jesus came to do? To fulfill the law and the prophets. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. In other words, Jesus is saying, this is my last meal until the kingdom of God comes. Now think about it. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This is the New Testament. This is the New Covenant. This is a new agreement that God has made with man. Now, when you look at this and you look at what God's done over the years, how He's kept His Word from the very beginning. God is a covenant-keeping God. If He makes an agreement, He keeps His agreement. When you look at the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, you see the covenant agreement basically summed up in that chapter. And just to summarize it, God is saying to the nation of Israel, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Now understand, the old covenant was exclusive. It was given to one nation. It wasn't for the whole world. That covenant was for the nation of Israel. But yet, if a person chose to identify with Israel's God and to come under conformity to the law of Moses, if you will, they could be included. But generally speaking, it was exclusive for a nation. Okay? And so God says, this is what you have to do. This written law, you have to read it. You have to observe it. You have to do it. And if you'll do this, and understand all this is revolved around worshiping God. If you'll do this, then I will bless you. You'll be blessed going in. You'll be blessed going out. You'll be the head, not the tail. The enemy won't be able to stand up to you as long as you fulfill your end of the agreement. But how many of you know that Israel didn't do that? And consequently, Israel was getting themselves in trouble on a regular basis. And you know, they'd get oppressed by the enemy, cry out to God, God delivered them, and they go right back to their old lifestyle. And so they never did really walk in the covenant agreement with God. All that was on them. Now here's what happened. God says, if you walk according to the agreement, I'll bless you. If you don't, you're cursed. Now you look at the first 14 verses of that 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and you see the blessing, but then you look at the rest of the chapter. Cursed will you be here. Cursed will you be there. Cursed will this be. Cursed will that be. What is that? This is what's going to happen to you if you don't walk according to my word and my ways. Now, it didn't say that God is just going to curse them for messing up. No, the curse was spoken when they went into the promised land. Six of the tribes spoke on one mountain, six on the other mountain. The blessing was spoke on this mountain. The curse was spoke on this mountain. The blessing and curse were released into the earth. If you do what the blessing says, you receive the blessing. If you don't, the curse is there. And you're going to incur the curse. So it's all based on performance of men. This is what I want you to see with the old. But when it comes to the new covenant, God put all the responsibility on Himself. Now, where the old covenant required humanity to perform, the new covenant is requiring one man to perform. Man couldn't do it, so God birthed a son, fathered a son, and brought him into the earth for the sole purpose of doing what man could not do, that is, fulfill the covenant agreement that he originally made. But this time, this is not exclusive to the nation of Israel. Now this is all inclusive to all nations, Jew and Gentile, now can be recipients of this covenant. And so when you understand what God did, in the old He said, you have to perform. But under the new covenant, God said, I will perform. I will do everything you didn't do. I made the agreement with humanity. I've sent my Son so He could become human, so a human being would fulfill that law. That's why Jesus came. Not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. So when you look at His life, sinless, never violated a law, fulfilling everything. Oh, He violated the tradition of religion, but He never violated the law. And the result of that, you're talking about blessing. I mean, you could get in His presence and get healed. You could touch Him and get healed. He could lay hands on you and get healed. You get delivered. All these things happen. Why? Because He's walking in agreement with God. He's walking according to the will of God. But then the day comes that now He's going to bear the sin of all humanity. Not only did He fulfill the law, but He took the penalty on Him for the breach of the law that had occurred in all these generations prior to that. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He made Him to be sin. He didn't sin. He made Him to be sin. It's like the 16th chapter of Leviticus when you look at the Day of Atonement. You had the Lord's goat. You had the scapegoat. The Lord's goat had to die. Sin acts, sin nature. Scapegoat, it's a forgiveness of sin, a removal of sin. And Jesus took care of both. You understand, on the Day of Atonement, it wasn't just forgiving, it was removing so that sin wouldn't be held against them. But that old covenant never dealt with the conscience of man. It was an external thing. It was calling man to live a standard externally. But in the new covenant, Jesus fulfills that old by living that external life that God required, by bearing the sin of humanity and the penalty for that sin. You understand? He had to die. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus had a death penalty on Him. So God had to execute His Son. You understand? Capital punishment. But there was an assurance that not only was there to be an execution, but there was to be a resurrection. And Jesus Himself said, in 3 days, I'll be back. I'll be back. You can destroy this temple, but I'm going to give you another temple. I'll rebuild this temple. It won't be mortal. It won't be corruptible. And we know that in 3 days that He rose again, right? Now, remember what He's told His disciples, His apostles, that I won't drink this fruit and I won't eat with you until this Passover is fulfilled. All the type I'm going to fulfill. Once the type is fulfilled, you no longer need the type. That's why the writer of Hebrews in the first chapter tells us that in the former times God spoke to man by the prophet, but now God's speaking to us through His Son. And when you see on the Mount of Transfiguration, you can see this in Matthew 17, where Peter, James, and John are on the mount with Jesus, and Jesus is transfigured, and there appears Moses and Elijah. Peter, overwhelmed, didn't know what to do, so being outspoken as he was. He just said, let us build here three memorials, three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. And God interrupted and God spoke. He said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. The law and the prophets have been fulfilled. You don't need to be listening to the law. You don't need to be looking to the prophets. You need to keep your focus on the Son of God. You follow me? Now let's look at the covenant. This covenant that God has made with humanity is a covenant not asking us to perform. It's asking us to believe in the performance that's already taken place. Man proved he couldn't fulfill the will of God. Jesus proved he did fulfill the will of God. And so what we're to do is believe in what Jesus did. You with me? So that's why the writer of Hebrews talks about this being a better covenant. This new covenant is a better covenant. It's established on better promises. It's not promises, if you do this, you do this, you do this, and you do this, this happens. If you don't do this and you don't do this, this happens. This covenant says, believe in me. Believe in me. Excuse me, you remember when Jesus was asked, you know, what's the work that we're to do? He said, believe on the Son. My paraphrase, you believe on the Son that God sent. That's your work. No wonder he said, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. All we have to do is believe in what Jesus has done. And here's the interesting thing about that. It purges your conscience. Keeping the law never purged the conscience. Day of Atonement was a reminder every year of your sin. But when Jesus did what he did, sin was remitted once and for all, and there is no remembrance of sin. It's been removed as far as the east is from the west. And so the covenant that we have with God today, the agreement God's made with us, is if you'll believe on my Son, you'll live forever, you'll never die. John 5, Jesus said, those who believe on him have already passed from death to life. Interesting, isn't it? That's why we say the covenant, not a covenant of performance, not a covenant dealing with natural. This is a spiritual covenant. The race of people that Jesus has is a spiritual race. That old covenant that God was dealing with the Israelites, they were the seed of Abraham, who was the seed of Adam, so the nature was there. God gave Abraham righteousness on credit, not because that he did not have a sin nature. But he would follow the word of God. God said, all right, you believe me? I'm going to give you righteousness on credit. Jesus has already fulfilled the law, and so now we become righteous the moment we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? He has made him to be sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You don't attain to righteousness, you're made righteous as a result of what you believe, not what you do. Isn't that a better covenant? So the old said perform. The new says believe. If you'll believe, you'll get far more than they got under the old. You won't even have a guilt consciousness of sin. You'll know you're clean. That's why Paul could say, I have a conscience void of offense before God and man. I've wronged nobody. Now, if you want to check his history and his track record, you could pull some things up in the flesh. But once God remitted, then the file was, his criminal file was exonerated before God. You follow me? Conscience purged. We can look at a baby in a manger. That's how God put Himself in earth. He needed the man, the God-man. You can look at the tremendous miracle working life of Jesus, His sinless life. That's great. That's the example. It's not something He did. It's something that's to be ongoing. Acts chapter 1, Luke writes, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. The ministry of Jesus is to carry on. But in order for this ministry to carry on, we have to be in covenant with God. We have to believe. All things are possible to those who believe. That's not a Walt Disney line. That's a principle of God. If we'll believe, it can happen. Jesus Himself told the man who said, you know, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. I believe, so I have eternal life. You understand? There is no fear in death because you can't kill eternal life. At best, they can only kill mortal. You understand? But we have something better. This covenant is immortal, incorruptible. You look at the body of Jesus that came out of the tomb. It wasn't the body that went in. That was mortal. That was corruptible. The body that came out was immortal, incorruptible. They didn't even recognize it. His own relatives didn't even recognize who He was by sight. You'll recognize Jesus by the Spirit. We're a spiritual people. We have a spiritual covenant. And that spiritual covenant has purged us. We have an agreement with God to where we're going to live with God forever if we believe on His Son. If we submit ourselves to His kingdom, we become citizens of the kingdom. Isn't it interesting how many people rebel against God's rule? Just like Israel did not want God to rule them. They wanted a king. God told Samuel, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. The church world today, the religious world, is still rejecting God as king. They don't want God to rule them. They'd rather have a system ruling over them. And you can't live up to the system. You're going to mess up somewhere down the line. And God's saying, believe in me. Let me rule over you. Be led by the Spirit of God. Don't follow your reasoning. I won't take you the way the world takes you, so your mind will give you a problem if you don't get it renewed. Get your mind renewed to where you walk in my ways and stay in agreement with me. Keep your eyes on this covenant, not that one. Keep your eyes on faith. Not works. And I'm telling you, if you live by faith, works won't diminish. But you won't be working to work. You'll just be demonstrating what you believe. Then you can identify with Father Abraham. That's exactly what he did. He demonstrated what he believed. God is wanting us today to demonstrate our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy for me to say I believe in God, but then let's identify who God is. It's easy to me to say I believe this and I believe that, but how many of you know there's only one way to Father God? And that's through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you become one with Him, you're in agreement with God. God wants us in agreement with Him. So He's given us this covenant, and this covenant is ratified not with the blood of an animal. In the Old Testament, when God gave that law to Moses, Moses wrote it in the book. He sprinkled the book with animal blood, and He sprinkled the people with the blood. But this new covenant is done with the blood of Jesus, not on our bodies, but on our spirits. Our hearts are sprinkled, so to speak. Our consciences are purged by this new covenant. We have a living way. We have a tremendous hope as long as we keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fall for what the world's saying and stop saying Jesus. Stop saying Merry Christmas and all this type stuff. No, now's the time to stand up for the one you're in covenant with, the one who got you in covenant with God. Now's the time to identify with the name of Jesus and not ashamed to say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're not believing it doesn't change who He is. My believing doesn't change who He is, but it'll change who I am. You understand? Thank God for the covenant cut in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, that's the message. Now, we're going to serve communion. You can go ahead and cut the camera off.